ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 5, Verse or Text 1. Do we do the word by word now, Archita Prabhu, or do I do the whole verse? Huh? The verse is there? Okay. Narada Uvacha. Deva Deva Namastestu Bhuta Bhavana Purvaja Tad Vijani Hi Yajjnanam Atma Tattva Nidarshanam. Narada Uvacha Deva Deva Namastestu Bhuta Bhavana Purvaja Tad Vijani Hi Ajjnanam Atma Tattva Nidarshanam. Narada Uvacha Deva Deva Namastestu Bhuta Bhavana Purvaja Tad Vijani Hi Ajjnanam Atma Tattva Nidarshanam. Please chant. Vande Macha. Bhuta Bhavana Purvaja Tad Vijani Hi Ajjnanam Atma Tattva Nidarshanam. Nandu Vacha Deva Devushkucha Bhuta Bhavana Purvacha. Narada Uvacha Deva Deva Namastestu Bhuta Bhavana Purvaja Tadvajani Ajnanam. Anyone else here? Namanu Vacha Deva Deva Namastestu Bhuta Bhavana Purvaja Tadvijani Yajnanam Dapa Narsadam. What is he? Narada Uvacha Deva Deva Namastestu Bhuta Bhavana Purvaja Tad Vijani Hi Ajnanam Atma Tattva Nidarshanam. Word by word. Narada Uvacha. Sri Narada said, Deva, of all demigods, Deva, the demigod, Namaha, obeisances, Te, unto you, as, sorry, let's do that again, Te, unto you as, astu, are, Bhuta Bhavana, the generator of all living beings. Purvaja, the firstborn. Tatvijanihi, please explain that knowledge. Yat jnanam, which knowledge. Atmatattva, transcendental. Nidarshanam, specifically directs. Translation. Sri Narada asked Brahmaji, O chief amongst the demigods, O firstborn living entity, I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Please tell me that transcendental knowledge which specifically directs one to the truth of the individual soul and the super soul. Please repeat. Sri Narada Muni, excuse me, did I do this just from? Sri Narada Muni asked Brahmaji, chief amongst the demigods, O firstborn living entity, I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Please tell me that transcendental knowledge which specifically directs one to the truth of the individual soul and the super soul. Purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki. The perfection of the parampara system, or the path of disciplic succession, is further confirmed. So, this word parampara means disciplic succession. It means that. Disciplic succession, I just want to explain. It means coming in a succession from disciple to disciple to disciple. For example, you start with the Lord, and then the Lord's disciple is Brahma. So in the disciplic, Brahma is the disciple of the Supreme Lord. First, then Narada is the son of Brahma. And Brahma will now teach to Narada that which he learned from the Supreme Lord. So you have the Lord, you have Brahma, and you have Narada. It's like a staircase. So that's what we mean by disciplic succession. And then Narada, he will give that knowledge to who? Yes, he will give it to Vyasadeva. And then after so now we have another step down, okay? And now standing on that step, Vyasadeva, who has a son, he will give that knowledge to the son. And what is his name? Yes, Shukdeva Goswami. It's good to have this kind of understanding that this is a line which goes down and starts from the Lord, but really continues from the Lord through each one of these personages. And that way, when it is presented, when it is spoken exactly as it has been given, it's pretty much the same as receiving it from the Supreme Lord. At least that's God's intent, that it should not be changed, it should be the same. And although God has his own mood and his own feelings, so we're not saying that what Narada is expressing is identical to what Krishna, when I say expressing, I mean that Narada has his kind of feeling, his mood, and his voice, and everything. But what he's saying is exactly what Krishna has said. Okay? And this is important for all of us. When we have to give a definition, or we need to recite a verse, for example, in English, we should try to keep the words the same. Sometimes we might, if necessary, substitute a very similar word for that. But ideally, it's best to memorize exactly, because sometimes when we give a different word here, it may lead to a tendency to many different words, in which case the verse gets changed, which is what we want to avoid doing. We want to keep it exactly the way we heard it. So, sorry. The perfection of the parampara system, the cyclic succession, or the path of the cyclic succession, is further confirmed. In other words, it's been mentioned previously, and it's being mentioned again. It's being mentioned again in this purport because Prabhupada feels it's a very important point, very important principle, and that is because devotees have a tendency to like to change things because it gives them some autonomy. It gives them some authority, as if they are now creating a new Bhagavad Gita. They like that because it's a godlike feeling. And we have come into this world to be a lord. And so we should all avoid or escape that tendency. We should see it in ourselves and then say, well, why am I changing this word? There's no need to change it. Prabhupada gave us the perfect word. Unless there's just some error or something which in which it has authority to change it. But generally speaking, not necessary. It's all false ego. And that should be avoided. In the previous chapter, it has been established that Brahmaji, the firstborn living entity, received knowledge directly from the Supreme Lord. How fortunate he was. And the same knowledge was imparted to Narada, the next disciple. Narada asked to receive the knowledge, and Brahmaji imparted it upon being asked. Therefore, asking for transcendental knowledge from the right person and receiving it properly is the regulation of the disciplic succession. Again, receiving it properly. Properly means no changes, no additions, no subtractions, no twistings, no interpretations that have not been given by the Lord. Keep it as it is. Prabhupada said over and over, you Americans or you Western people, you just love to change everything. And you love to say, Prabhupada said this, and Prabhupada said this. So many times Prabhupada said, I never said that. Because the person feels, you know, bloated. He feels big. He feels great. That, yeah, I'm saying something that Prabhupada said. But Prabhupada never said it. So when somebody hears something from someone who apparently heard it from Prabhupada, he takes on a certain amount of prestige. He's big. He's great. I got it from Prabhupada. But then when it was often brought to Prabhupada, Prabhupada said, I never said that. Never. Who said that? And then the poor devotee, he would be humiliated, abashed, ashamed, and whatever. So if Prabhupada really said it, and you can refer to a particular lecture, that's very good. And if it helps to support a particular principle, a particular idea, so far, so good. Now, let me find my place. I think, Archie, I'm going to have to hire you to keep my place for me. Thank you. Okay. Yeah, okay. I'm looking for that word. Oh, here it is. Yes. Thank you. This process is recommended in the Bhagavad Gita 4.2. Does anybody know 4.2? I'll give you a hint. No guesses, by the way. Okay, but I want to hear the English of it because that's what I speak. Anybody know the English? Yes. Perfect. So if you have any questions about the scripture, you know who to go to. Sitting right over there. Would you like to try the next verse? I'll give you a hint. That supreme science was thus received in disciplic succession, and the saintly kings understood it in that way. But in course of time, the succession was broken, and the science as it is appears to be what? Lost, yes, okay. What's the next verse, the first few words? Anybody remember? If somebody can give me the first few words, I might remember it. Okay, anybody know the first few words? of that word. I can't, if I remember, anybody give me the first three words, I'd probably get the whole verse out. But I can't. So let's move ahead. The inquisitive student must approach a qualified spiritual master to receive transcendental knowledge by, very important, three words. I'm going to test everybody at the end of this class. These three words are probably one of the most important words in the course of the process of devotional service. By surrender, submissive inquiries, and service. Where does Prabhupada get those three words? Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. So we have those words basically. This, just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Next words. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively. It's right here in the purport. And service. And perform service for him. So those are very important principles. Not we just close our eyes and concentrate between the eyebrows and see the light. This is direct instruction that Krishna is giving Arjuna on how to obtain transcendental knowledge. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively. Submissively means, I am yours. Teach me. I know nothing. I'm a fool. I'm a rascal. Submissive inquiries, not, all right, let me hear what you got to say. You know, challengingly, looking to him as if you're going to find some fault. I've seen people do that. I've done it myself, I'm sorry to say. But it's wrong. We don't challenge. If you want to gain knowledge, and you have to gain knowledge by the blessings, by the kindness, by the eagerness of this teacher. And by our attitude, the teacher is necessarily feels some affection from love as a result of that submissiveness. So therefore, he gives not only the information that he has to, but he also gives his heart. And when the devotee feels the flow of the heart of the teacher, he naturally enjoys, he likes, he loves receiving that knowledge, and he's eager for more. And that's how it keeps going. Surrender, submissive inquiries, and service. Knowledge received by submissive inquiries and service is more effective than knowledge received in exchange for money. Now, that's an interesting point because Prabhupada often made that. These teachings that Krishna gave, he did not expect them to be commercial in the sense that if you speak like I'm speaking here, that before I let you in, you have to pay me at least $5 to get in. That was not the idea. When Krishna gave this teaching on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, at the beginning, he didn't say to Arjuna, now I'm going to tell you exactly what this whole song of God or what this entire science of yoga is all about, but first you have to give me $20. And there were many teachers doing just that kind of thing, making it into a commercial activity. It should not be. It should be a love activity. God is giving this because he loves us, because he wants us to improve. It's unconditional love. It's what he wants us all to have, and he wants us to give to others in such a way that people do not feel that it's a money or a calculating or a commercial transaction. That's not what the Bhagavad Gita is about. It's a transaction of the heart of God to the heart of the devotee. And as a result of that flow from one heart to another, the devotee begins to overcome or lose the impurities of his heart and thereby becomes more and more godlike. Okay? Yeah, so it should not be, it doesn't mean you can't sell a book, but you have to pay, you know, for all the materials and the workers. That's a different matter. But sitting here, I have never seen Srila Prabhupada have somebody outside the door asking for money before you come in and hear his discourse. Anybody see anything like that? It was Prabhupada's mood that he just wants to flow out and give out his love to everybody so that when you feel you've gotten something free without any condition, without any demand, well, you want to do the same thing. And that's what love is all about. It's an exchange. There are six loving exchanges among devotees, such as offering gifts, receiving gifts, inquiring submissively. I missed the third one. Archita, you know the third one? I can't remember it. Revealing your mind. Thanks so much. Yeah, well, I get the other two. Wait a minute. I'm not that dumb. Yes, revealing your mind. And then another one is giving prasad and accepting prasad. These are the six loving exchanges by devotees for the purpose of increasing their love for one another and ultimately their love for God. Has everybody here read The Nectar of Instruction? No, good. Only two people have read The Nectar of Instruction? Of course, Drudakrami, he's probably got it all memorized. We all had to memorize it, if you remember, in the Bhakta program. Anyone else? You've read it? Good. Who hasn't read it, please put your hand up. Nobody here? Everybody's read it? Yeah, okay, good. Because it's a very basic book. But Prabhupada, Sri Ishupanishad is another one. The Bhagavad Gita, of course. And then there was also Nectar of Devotion. These were all part of the Bhakta program. I did manage the Bhakta program for a number of months. And therefore, we had at least, in one day, at least six, I don't know if you remember, the six classes per day, a different book at each class. And the evening, I remember, was Nectar of Devotion. And then came the Bhagavad Gita. And we had the Sri Ishupanishad. Prabhupada wanted us to really be educated in this, and especially these verses, which had a lot to offer us. So, continuing. A spiritual master in the line of disciplic succession from Brahma and Narada has no demand for dollars and cents. His feeling is that he's supported by Krishna, and he depends upon Krishna. As Krishna himself says, in all activities, just depend upon me and work under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. If you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. What's the next word? Huh? A lion here. I'll get it. You will pass over the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness, but act through false ego, me, 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 I, mine, 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 work through false ego, you will be what? Lost. Don't depend upon yourself first. Depend upon Krishna first. My Lord, I'm a fool. I have no real intelligence. Whatever intelligence I have has been given to me by you. Without your mercy, I would never be able to do anything. And that's a fact. There's a very nice prayer which I try to say on a daily basis. My dear Lord Krishna, I am nothing except what you make me. I have nothing except what you give me. I know nothing except what you teach me. I do nothing except what you enable me. And I want nothing except pure love of your lotus feet. For then I will have everything and even more. So anytime we feel proud, anytime we feel great, anytime we feel glorious that we've done something marvelous and miraculous or whatever, we have to go back to this little poem that I have. I have done nothing without the grace of God. God's grace is on me. If he didn't give me that grace, there are so many people, for example, who can't eat. They have to eat through the mouth, I mean. They have to eat through a bag in their stomach. There are so many places that they don't have faucets for water. They have to go out to the river. These are all graces which come from Krishna to us. And we have to be very thankful for them because he doesn't have to give them to us. There are many people sitting or lying on the streets just right down the blocks. And their faucet is whatever, wherever they can get some water in some bathroom or so. But don't have their faucets. But then you go to more impoverished neighborhoods The result is that sometimes people don't even have sinks. You know, they have a big bucket and they wash in the bucket. So all these things that we have to be thankful. We should be saying, thanks, my Lord. I know you could do, I have committed so many sins, so many problems, so many wrong actions, and I deserve to be punished for them. But look at this. You're giving me the faucets. You're giving me food. You're giving me clothing, shelter, health, strength, medication. You're giving me all these things so I can do what? So I can gradually, slowly, progressively come back to you. What a great, great, glorious, wonderful person. That's how we get to love Krishna, when we see that he doesn't have to be giving us all this light. He doesn't have to be giving it to us. They could be candles. But he's giving it to us as a result of his love for us. And he's ignoring some of the things we did which we should not have done. And why is he doing that? Simply and only because we're striving, we're trying, we're eagerly trying to please him through the service that we're offering, and we're understanding that whatever service we're giving him is nothing compared to what we owe him. And if we have that consciousness, Krishna is extremely pleased, because it shows that we're being genuinely, truly humble. I'm not worthy of all of this, and yet Krishna, he does this to enable me to come back to him, to get closer to him, and to also share what he gives us to know with other persons who don't know it. So we're so... And when we do that, we acquire such wonderful... We acquire such wonderful, not only knowledge, but ability. We acquire this ability to be able to help other people who don't know who they are, why they're here, what the purpose of life is, and where we should ultimately go. And when we are able to do that, we give persons a completely new lease on life, or we should say, we give them life, whereas before, they were simply in death. That's the fact. Go out on the street and say, what's the purpose of life? I don't know. Are you sure? No, I don't know. Hey, I got no time. You know, so this is what you find. And so we are very fortunate. There's an old saying, you know, count your blessings. It's not just a pretty saying. It's something we have to do, because we're all full of ego. We all think we're wonderful and great and glorious. Look how many applause I get, so many people to admire. You send so many emails and so much letters and so many phone calls. I loved your class. Oh, I loved your this. I read your book. It was fantastic. You can't let that sit there, because if it does, that's how the false ego keeps growing and growing. And when somebody insults you, say, how dare you speak that way to me? Do you know who I am? You don't want that. So instead, when it comes to us, we have to give it to, in my case, Prabhupada, and beg Prabhupada to hand it over to Krishna where it belongs, because ultimately and truly, he is the one who has given it to me. And when it's out of my hand, I no longer have it. So I can't say to somebody, don't you know who I am? I did this. No, Krishna did it through me, and he now has it again. I've given it back to him. I'm zero. Zero means total humility. And if we have total humility, you don't have to worry about anything, because you never get insulted, you never get upset, you never get shaken. There are certain circumstances which, when it's proper to get upset and shaken, but I'm talking about for generally general activities that we have to deal in. Almost at the end, and we're almost finished, I'll leave a little time for comments and questions. A spiritual master in the line of disciplic succession from Brahma and Narada has no demand for dollars and cents. He gets it from Krishna. He depends on Krishna, and Krishna takes care. A bona fide student has to satisfy him by sincere service to obtain knowledge of the relation and nature of the individual soul and the super soul. And not just knowledge of an intellectual nature, but of a realized nature. When we can actually realize ourselves as souls and go even deeper to be able to actually experience and see the super soul. As Krishna himself says, just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, and render service unto him.
The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. Having obtained real knowledge from a self-realized soul, you will never again fall into such illusion. For by this knowledge you will see that all living beings are but part of me, or in other words, they are mine. You will see. Seeing doesn't necessarily mean with the eyes, but the inner eyes. When we see that relationship between the soul and the supreme soul, we truly know who we are, and we truly know who everyone else is, whereas most people are just thinking they're the little body and that's it. So that gives us a very great advantage, because when we know who we are, we know that this body is, in one sense, unreal, just material, here today and gone tomorrow. There's nothing to be worried about. People are worried about dying, but we know there is no real death. You go from one body, you go to another body, and another body, and you go to the spiritual world. There's nothing to be worried about. Worry comes from identifying ourselves with the body and wanting to use that body as a means to lord it over other people in, from one way or another. I'm your master. I'm your teacher. I'm your boss. Me, me, me. I. I'm the big shot. You're the little shot. So if we have this mentality, you just suffer one day after another, one moment after another. But a person who doesn't want any kind of big identity but loves being a simple servant of the Lord and considers himself the worst of the worst, he's never worried. I mean, even when the Lord praises him, he doesn't take it even very seriously, because he knows that all the power, all the glory, all the greatness that he's manifesting is coming from the very person who is praising him. Okay? So, therefore, the devotee simply has his head bent, his head at the feet of the Lord, and the Lord smiles, seeing, yes, this is a true devotee. He takes nothing, wants nothing, just loves to serve me, serve me, serve me. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. All glories to Sri Sri Rukmini and Dwakadish Ki Jai, Sri Sri Gornetai Ki Jai, Sri Sri Jagannath Baladev Giri Subhadra Ki Jai. And thank you all very much for giving me the opportunity to share these wonderful teachings. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Dai, Hare Krishna. Hey, I could have done that.
You got the service.
Yeah, there you go.
Service.
You give class tomorrow.